This is a podcast of the National Institute of Corrections virtual conference. Please join us November 9th, 2016 for our third annual conference titled Leading with Innovation, where you will receive a full day of presentations, innovative chats, and networking, all brought to you by NIC. Visit us at www.nicic.gov/go/VC2016 to register. And now, here's a sneak peek.
Well, before we get into this, let's talk about your background and what it is that you do, and then how you came to be involved in this topic here, which is smartphones.
Yes, correct. Right? Smartphones. Okay. And my company first released, we released our first smartphone application on the market in 2009. So we started developing it in 2008, and that was for legal services. We've developed four smartphone and web applications since then. We've been lucky enough to be recognized by the American Bar Association more than once, LexisNexis, Law Week, the Department of Consumer Affairs, for our ability to use the smartphone in industries that have not quite accepted technology, you know, for its abilities to collect data and distribute resources to individuals. And our new, our latest smartphone application we released in 2014, and that is working with criminal justice and different agencies across the nation and soon to be global. We're in about 20 different states on the state and federal level for drug courts, pretrial services, community supervision, juvenile reentry, and treatment facilities. So we've had a long experience in developing smartphone apps and web applications for users.
So let's go back even further. So are you a founder, like a co-founder of this company, or an employee?
Correct. I'm the owner and founder of the company.
Okay. So how did you come about developing this company and then this smartphone technology?
I worked closely with an attorney in my previous profession, and the opportunity came about in 2007. The smartphone came onto the market, and applications were, you know, the all new at that time. And I saw an opportunity in legal services to document the level of diligence of a person out in the field and protect their consumer's right to due process. And so I started whiteboarding the first application for legal services. It was the first smartphone application for legal services.
So your background was in technology or in legal service?
Neither. My background was in banking and investments, and I have learned since 2008 the smartphone and web application industry.
Okay. And so you connected yourself with the right people who could help you bring your idea to fruition.
Correct. I had the vision. I found the right individuals to help me develop that technology. And like I said, we put our first application on the market in 2009.
Okay.
And now in New York City, all legal service providers have to use our technology because we were accepted by the Department of Consumer Affairs in 2011, and we were very successful with that first application.
Okay, so what exactly does your specific application do?
Well, it documents the level of diligence of the individual that is performing the service of process. And
what's
then
that?
It also serving papers, legal documents, like a summons when a person is is served a summons, it documents and instructs that person out in the field. It walks them through a process. It gives them the rules of civil procedure, which is the rules for each type of legal document. It does an audio recording. It does video pictures. It takes a physical description of the individual, a GPS ping, of course. So it really documents the level of diligence of that person, and it also creates a scenario where we protect the consumer's right to due process at the same time.
Okay. And how does this protect the consumer?
It protects the consumer because it documents that they were identified, that they received those documents. New York City and many cities across the nation have had issues with documents being delivered in error or not delivered at all, and bank accounts were frozen, and individuals were not aware of the court actions taken against them. So it is your right to due process to receive that information, to know everything that is detailed in that court case.
Okay. All right. That. Thank you for clarifying that. That makes it much easier to understand.
Sure.
So your company, Outreach Smartphone Monitoring. How you're connected also with the District of Oregon. With Judge Aiken to do this presentation for the NIC virtual conference. How did that connection come about?
That connection came about through another contact. Mark Sherman at the Federal Judicial Center was nice enough to link in with me and then inform me what the judge in Oregon, Ann Aiken, was looking for. And she was looking for a supervisory tool that would help her reentry court, to help rehabilitate them, to distribute resources to them, but also to gather the data needed to document what truly reduces recidivism.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so in this presentation that you'll be co-presenting, what do you hope to share with people? What do you hope they will take away from it?
I hope to provide guidance for these individuals on the future of supervision. And the future of supervision is using a platform that recognizes changes in behavioral patterns and utilizes devices like biometric tethers that tether the individual to their phone because their phone is supervising them, and then also introduce them to the future of biosensors that detect substance abuse.
This is very high tech.
It is high tech. It sounds that way. Now, this is all, when it comes to the smartphone and it comes to a biometric tether or biosensors, these are all, I mean, if you look at the Fitbit, that's what that is. So it is devices, medical devices that are on the market at this time. We've brought this all together, the technology, not only on the smartphone application, but the biometric tethers and the biosensors into a package to help community supervision.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so what do you think is the future of supervision? I mean, based on what you're talking about, you're taking these technologies from the health field, these wearable technologies, and you're finding new applications for them in criminal justice. Where do you foresee the field moving?
I see the field moving from a purely punitive thinking to a more rehabilitative thinking. I see the use of an ankle bracelet being replaced by a smartphone and these wearable devices, the biometric tether and the biosensors. I see that as the future of supervision, because there's so much we can do with a smartphone to, you know, document and to supervise that individual, but also to distribute resources to those individuals, such as crisis lines and GPS location of nearby shelters, incentives and sanctions, positive reinforcement statements. But then again, you know, what I really want to stress is also the ability for the smartphone to evolve, to incorporate other technologies, like to the real future is also recognizing changes in behavioral patterns, so we can have suicide prevention, so we can have red flags that go out to officers in certain situations. And then what is so important is to gather the data that is needed to document what is reducing recidivism, so we can customize that supervision via the smartphone, not only for the risk profile of the individual, but we can customize it with as it evolves in the future. Because if there's any device that has the ability, unlimited ability to evolve, it's the smartphone.
Mm-hmm. Right, because they're just mini computers.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, if you look at the ankle bracelet and then you look at a smartphone and the psychological differences between the two, society has programmed us very quickly that we should never leave our smartphone anywhere, that we listen to it, it instructs us, it entertains us, that it's part of our brain, and it is psychologically much more accepted by the offender. And if you have a supervisory tool that is accepted by your offender, your compliance rate is going to increase.
Mm-hmm. Well, this all sounds absolutely fascinating.
Well,
and,
thanks.
Yeah, and so I look forward even to hearing more of this at the virtual conference. I want to thank you so much, Mike.
Thank you.
Sure. Is there anything else that you want to tell us about your presentation or?
Well, yes. One thing that I do want to emphasize that this platform ensures that the offender is held liable for their actions, and it protects the public while it distributes these rehabilitative resources and gathers that data needed to reduce recidivism. So it does have all the traditional electronic monitoring features in it, but just much, much more.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
This has been a broadcast of the National Institute of Corrections. The views presented are those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent the policies or positions of the National Institute of Corrections. We hope you enjoyed this broadcast. To register for the NIC virtual conference, please visit us at www.nicic.gov/go/VC2016.